embarrass Scott and he'll be like,
thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this day of Pentecost. Some of you have joined in the color of the day, this beautiful red, which is a symbol that the church uses for the Feast of Pentecost, one of the festival days in the church year, symbolizing that the Holy Spirit sets our hearts on fire for God's word and for God's purpose. Now, if I were going to say the three festival days of the church, you know, are Christmas and Easter and Pentecost, I would order them this way. Easter, Pentecost, Christmas. Not because of their order of importance, no, but because we wouldn't even have thought in the church, the early church, to celebrate Christmas had there not been an Easter and a Pentecost, Jesus sending his Holy Spirit to create this church, right? And that's why it took many decades for the church to develop a festival day that was Christmas Day, but always Easter and Pentecost. We wouldn't even know to celebrate Jesus' birth had there not been an Easter, right? And a Pentecost, the sending of the Spirit to birth the church. So very important in the church year. I'm Pastor Donna Olson. I'm retired and I live in Hutchinson, and I've been with you a time or two before, so it's a pleasure to be back. Very happy to be worshiping among you today. Welcome if there are any visitors today. You see, I wouldn't know that, but if you're here, that makes our worship that much more complete. So welcome if you're visiting. May you be blessed today. I've been asked to announce that communion will be distributed, especially if you haven't been here for communion recently or you are visiting, down the center aisle, where there will be two sets of communion assistants who will hand you the host, and you will receive the wine as well. There's gluten-free and juice available. Just let your preference for that be known to the assistant, and we have that for you. And if you come forward for a blessing, I understand that your practice is to cross your arms over your chest, or you can even come with your arms down, and we will know if your hand's not extended that you are not receiving communion but wishing a blessing. Today we celebrate the 52nd anniversary. Could that be true? I just met Chris and her family, and Dennis Davis. Their 52nd anniversary, the flowers on the altar area are given to the glory of God, but in honor of your anniversary. So here are congratulations on that. My. And now I invite Dennis Davis to come forward for a temple talk.
This morning I wish to talk for just a minute about Habitat. First of all, I want to say thanks to all the members of Christ Lutheran Church who so generously contributed their time for construction work, bringing meals, and for raising funds, which helped us build the house for Becky, which hopefully very shortly will be have a dedication. We've had some issues with bookkeeping, so we couldn't close right away, but hopefully we're going to get that all straightened out. Also, a reminder that next Sunday, it's not in the bulletin, it got missed in communications, but there will be a noisy pail offering for Habitat for Humanity next Sunday. So bring your coins and even soft stuff. With that in mind, though, everything is moving forward with Habitat, and we're going to need volunteers again this summer for many things. First of all, we're planning to build a twin home this summer in Hutchinson, and so we will again need volunteers for construction, for bringing meals. We also have many fundraisers planned, Coburn's Brat Stand, we need volunteers for that. The fair booth, we have 46 time slots to fill for a fair booth for Habitat. We'll be having Oktoberfest again this year. We need volunteers to put that on. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is Hammer and Nails Dinner. It's in your bulletin today, a lot of information on the back page of your bulletin. And tickets can be obtained through the Habitat office in Hutchinson or from me. I have tickets in my pocket. So if you need tickets for the Hammer Nails Dinner, which is on Wednesday the 29th of June at the Country Club in Hutchinson. We had to postpone that because we had conflict dates. We had to unprint all the tickets and print all new tickets with a new date on it. So that's why things are a little bit late getting going on it. And I think that's about all I have for Habitat. Again, thank you for your support for the program and looking forward for your support in the future.
Thank you, Dennis. And I have stepped on your toes, as I thought I probably would sometime during our worship. So we continue with our gathering song. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your path, but have chosen our own way. Instead of putting others before ourselves, we long to take the best seats at the table. When met by those in need, we have too often passed by on the other side. Set us again on the path of life. Save us from ourselves and free us to love our neighbors. Amen. Hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sins, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are free to love as God loves. Amen. Now, in the waters of baptism, we have passed over from death to life with Jesus Christ, and we are a new creation. For this saving mystery and for this water, let us bless God who was, who is, and who is to come. We thank you, God, for your river of life, flowing freely from your throne, through the earth, through the city, through every living thing. You rescued Noah and his family from the flood. You opened wide the sea for the Israelites. Now in these waters you flood us with mercy, and our sin is drowned forever. You opened the gate of righteousness, and we passed safely through. In Jesus Christ you calm and trouble the waters. You nourish us and enclose us in safety. You call us forth and send us out. In lush and barren places you are with us. You have become our salvation. Now breathe upon this water and awaken your church once more. Claim us again as your beloved and holy people. Quench our thirst, cleanse our hearts, wipe away every tear. To you, our beginning and our end, our shepherd and lamb, be honor, glory, and praise and thanksgiving, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, the resurrection of your Son offers life to all the peoples of the earth. By your Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love, empowering our lives for service and our tongues for praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading is taken from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. The setting here is Jerusalem. It's 50 days from Easter Sunday and 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them. And a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at that sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. When I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, I had a condition called preeclampsia. I was hospitalized near the end of the pregnancy, and I was very comfortably medicated while everyone around me worried. After 3 weeks in the hospital, the doctor determined, through amniocentesis, that my baby could be delivered. The baby would be born the next day by cesarean section. The crucial factor in planning the delivery of the baby was the maturity of her lungs. So as soon as the amniotic fluid indicated her lungs were mature, the delivery was scheduled. I was relieved. And so were all who loved me. We were going to finally see this baby we had not yet met, but already loved. My pastor came to visit me the night before the delivery and asked if he could pray with me at my hospital bed. And almost 39 years later, his words are unforgettable to me. Lord, hear our prayer for your breath. Tomorrow, as this child is born, breathe into this baby's lungs the life that can only come from you. Amen. God, grant this child your breath. Breathing, how unnoticeable it is to us most of the time, unless we have asthma or a heart condition or pneumonia or we're terribly frightened or we simply step outside on one of these Minnesota below zero days, then we're aware of our breath. But what does our breath have to do with God's breath? What is this breath of God's? And why did the followers need to receive it as they gathered in fear? An English theologian named John Courtney Hall once described the church as a conspiracy. And by that he meant that we breathe together. Con means with, and spire means breath. So when we conspire, we breathe together. As Jesus breathes on his disciples, locked in a room in Jerusalem, he makes of them a conspiracy. He gives them the breath that holds them together. In God's breath, they share the experience of the grace that Jesus gives. It is Jesus' breath that holds them together as the people of God. The church is a conspiracy. As God's church, we breathe together as God's people, modeling a way of life that is good for this world that God loves and came to save. But people of God who breathe together can afford to be diverse. St. Paul tells us that in his letter to the church at Corinth. That's because the Holy Spirit gives us all different gifts, given by the same God for the same purpose, and these gifts are given so that we might breathe together, sharing God's grace with one another and this world. Yes, people who breathe together, as the church does, can afford to be diverse. Indeed, we're meant to be diverse. The community of the Bible, the early church, was very diverse, just as Jesus intended. A community of resurrection faith cannot happen if we surround ourselves only with people who look like us and think like us and act like us. In our reading in Acts today, it's the Jewish feast day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. The first community of Christian believers, who were the believing Jews, were as diverse a community as can be found in the world at that time. Let's look at who God draws together for this conspiracy. Galileans, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, those from Pontus, Asians, Phrygians, Pamphylians, Egyptians, Romans, Cretans, Arabs. Just like this early congregation formed by God at this Pentecost recorded in Acts, God's church forms when a dizzying variety of people from all kinds of backgrounds and gifts take an interest in the mystery of each other's lives and the messes of each other's lives. This is the most effective way the church has of transforming this world. And that's all because we have the breath of God breathed into us. We're formed as a community around the inspiration, the breath of Jesus. We intentionally walk into each other's lives, and we admire and appreciate fellow members for their gifts, whether or not they think like us or look like us or act like us. We believe that the love that's generated in a community of faith is greater than the total love we're capable of as individuals. That's because Jesus breathed the same holy breath into each. Why and how does Jesus give us this breath? Well, first, I would say, Jesus gives us this breath, but first he takes away our breath. And Jesus does that at Easter. We celebrate Easter because it reminds us of the discovery of the empty tomb and the spreading of the marvelous news that Christ has risen. And we celebrate Easter because the light of that first Easter morning is testimony enough to the message that our Lord lives. And we celebrate Easter because the resurrection of Jesus is more spectacular than anything we could imagine. And we celebrate Easter because the message of Jesus alive is more beautiful than the most awesome sunrise or sunset or rainbow. And we celebrate Easter because the message is as glorious now as it was to the women at the tomb. The message of Jesus alive for us at Easter and every day since takes our breath away. This breath, then, this gift of the Holy Spirit, is given to us at our baptism. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, are we not? This seal testifies that we are authentically God's. This seal of the Holy Spirit is God's pledge to us that we are God's child. This baptism of ours is a cleansing bath, yes it is, but it's also our death and our resurrection and our rising to new life. At our baptism, God's breath is given to us as the Holy Spirit descends upon us at our baptism, as it did on Jesus at his baptism, like a dove. The Holy Spirit gives us our identity, child of God, wonder of wonders. And with this breath, this new identity in Jesus, our life of faith begins. And that life of faith is the work of the Holy Spirit. In our baptism, we're welcomed by the conspiracy, that is the congregation, the Church of Jesus Christ. We are new sisters and brothers in the community of saints of all times and all places. And we join our new family at the Lord's table, and we hear the words of grace, and we give thanks, and we share a holy meal. Here Christ is present as meal and guest and host, feeding us, forgiving us, uniting us, and sending us to be his presence in this world, all because of God's breath. We are washed in water. We are born of the Spirit. Trusting in God's mercy when we fail, we continue to love and serve in Jesus' name. And we dream God's dream, where all of God's creatures will be in peace together. And when we near our death, we will not cling to our own goodness or our own successes or our own self-confidence. We will remember the Holy Spirit descending on us at our baptism, breathing the breath of God into us, and we will cling to the resurrection promise. Now, there is something else going on here at this Feast of Pentecost, as St. Luke writes in Acts. This holy wind comes to the place where the followers are gathered, and even beyond the followers, many, many people from all lands are gathered. And by the power that of the breath that is the Holy Spirit, Peter is entrusted with the Pentecost proclamation. Peter's sermon is the message of the living God. And the first words of that proclamation, we could say, the first sermon of the Christian church is, "We're not drunk." We're not filled with new wine, we're on fire. It's pretty funny when you think of it. It's the first words of the proclamation spoken on the birth date of the Christian church, "We're not drunk." These tongues of flame that appear with the believers are Jesus' kindling. He's kindling a fire in the community of the baptized. We may feel at a loss sometimes to understand the signs of God's Holy Spirit among us. But by the breath that is the Holy Spirit, we can trust the words of Jesus that he has not and never will abandon us. We do not have to do his work alone. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who kindles a fire within us, without which in us there would only be smoldering ashes. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes through God's word and feeds us in God's meal, and the Holy Spirit enlivens us with the gift of holy community because God knows we need strength for the journey. In this story of Pentecost, we hear how Jesus enters the place where his frightened disciples are holed up. We hear how he takes their breath away with his presence. We hear how he breathes his Holy Spirit into them and sets them on fire. Later in this Pentecost account in Acts, a little bit beyond our reading today, St. Luke writes this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came over everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, and they ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Just beyond our reading today. So what was the mark of Pentecost? What was it that convinced those Jewish believers that what they experienced was the very breath and fire of God? The community that was filled with that spirit looked around and said, "What do I have that you need?" Being filled with the Holy Spirit, they gave of their love and their time and their vocation and their money and themselves. The mark of the new people formed by God is this. How much do we care about the people who need what God gave us? The proclamation of Peter and the witnessing of our own spirit-filled lives is a commitment to the power of the resurrection. The breath and fire of God's Holy Spirit is God's way of saying, I love you enough to suffer for you. I love you enough to overcome the power of death. Now, confront evil, spread my saving word to all, and most of all, ask each other, what do you need that I have? Amen. Now, please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 407, which will not be projected. 407. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for God's church, God's people in need, and all of God's creation.
God of presence and peace, strengthen your church around the globe to proclaim the message of your love coming to the world. Open our hearts to recognize your face in all people and in all creation. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide all bishops, pastors, missionaries, and other ministers of the gospel. Foster our relationships with partner synods and local ministry partners, including the Freiheit Circuit in South Africa, that our visions and our actions are spirit-led. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sustaining God, your creation abounds with the signs of new life in budding trees and newborn creatures. Provide fertile soil, ample sunlight, and nourishing rain for the growth of plants, and provide farmers with a plentiful harvest. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those serving in the armed forces, including Bryce, Ryan B., Cassandra, Darren, Ryan S., and Jacob, God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give a heart of discernment and integrity to our leaders, including Joe, our president, Tim, our governor, and Tom, Norman, Ryan, Mandy, Tracy, and Bruce, our mayors, for peace and justice in all nations, and including the communities of Biscay, Brownton, Glencoe, New Auburn, Plato, and Silver Lake. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of comfort and care, be present with those on our prayer list and those celebrating a birthday or an anniversary. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for wisdom, peace, and justice to prevail in the Ukraine. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For your mission for Christ Lutheran Church, for the person who will be called to be our next pastor, and for the call committee, for the many ministries planted here, including students, educators in our communities, the secretaries, the cooks, bus drivers, custodians, administrators at the end of the school year. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those who have died, may they rest in peace and rise in glory. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us share that peace. It as God receives our offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Living God, you gather the wolf and the lamb to feed each other in your peaceable reign, and you welcome us all to your table. Reach out to us through this meal and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Lamb of God, you take away our sin.
Please rise. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. We give you thanks, generous God, for in this bread and cup we have tasted the new heaven and earth, where hunger and thirst are no more. Send us from this table as witnesses to the resurrection, that through our lives all may know life in Jesus' name. Amen. God, the author of life, Christ, the living cornerstone, and the life-giving spirit of adoption, bless you now and forever. Amen. Dismissal, if you would bear with me. I would like us to go out onto the church lawn right near the building, and we'll dismiss from there. Would you do that with me? Say yes. Pentecost. Okay. But remember to come back for fellowship and coffee and goodies. Okay? Don't forget that. Or do I ever have to say that to Lutherans? I don't know. So please follow me out. And for those of you who need extra time, we will wait. So I hope you'll all choose to come and join us outside. You won't be sorry. So come, we'll dismiss. We'll end our service out there. Follow me out. That's why I was hesitating to go down here.
So were you driving?
Yeah. My brother and sister-in-law and niece. Yeah.
There's nobody on there. Okay. This old pontoon.
Yeah, it's your drill. It's Bob and Sharon Harrison. Thank you.